Hello.
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 How you doing?
Good. Good. So?
Yep. So, this will be for the episode going up tomorrow.
What's going up tomorrow?
The episode will be going up tomorrow because I don't have any ready. So,
Oh.
this will be very, very current.
Okay, super current.
Yeah. So, you just discussed it inside. So the topic that I'm looking to talk about is, if you're a musician or an actor or a director or basically something in the creative arts in some way, shape, or form, what I'm looking at is what is the difference between quote unquote making it, doing anything you can to make it versus having it be your job. So if you're an actor, you just want to go out and act and you want to be able to make a living at it versus I want to be the most famous actor in Hollywood, then I want to be a superstar and a celebrity. So this relates to, making it in the music industry, doing everything you can to make it in the music industry to be famous. But not where the music is secondary. Being famous is the primary goal. So what is your thing, Todd? Do you want to be famous, or would you rather be a working musician? Like making a living, let's say, basically, if you could make what you're making now, financially speaking, and touring like 3 or 4 months a year.
Making what I'm making now?
Yeah, say you're making what you're making now, but it's by touring 3 or 4 months a year versus what you're doing now. That'd be a working musician, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't
Or would
know.
you
That's
rather
kind
have be a multimillionaire and be super famous and the paparazzi on your lawn, people fishing through your garbage? Yeah, looking for dirt.
Well, if I had the choice of being rich or famous, or rich and famous, I would just choose rich. The famous part, I don't, that's not me. I don't really, that doesn't really turn my crank. I'm not out to, do the peacock thing where, you're showing off and this is my life and, praise me and all this other stuff. Me, it's just like, you know what? Low key, I don't need the media coming after me. I don't need, you get all these people coming out of the woodwork. It's just more of a pain, I think.
I'm of the same vein. I think once upon a time, I think maybe I wanted to be famous, but because I thought that to be a musician, you had to be famous. I didn't look at the musical ability, and I guess part of that is like my upbringing was Kiss, and Kiss were famous, and they were musicians second. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, some people they're just naturally good, and they just become famous because they've been, it's either word of mouth or I don't, I'm not sh like this Ed Sheeran guy. I've never heard of him before in my entire life. Everybody is like gaga over this guy. He seems to be a very, very down to earth person, and I don't know if he actually chose to be famous. I think he just kind of ended up that way.
Yes, I agree.
And then there's people who, they play the role, like, when they say the posers, I have the ones that, they figure if they, if they pose enough, they might get famous just by looking the part, I guess.
Yeah, like I guess a good example of that is the hair metal days, when like Poison and Motley Crue and bands like that made it, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, if we put makeup on and we make ourselves look pretty, like girls, then we can be famous. And a lot of bands did make it famous and they weren't very good. They just made it, based on, they had the right wardrobe going on.
Yeah, I think they had more makeup and hair stuff than any woman would have.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I think Ed Sheeran's a really good example, because I do know a little bit about Ed Sheeran, because actually Sylvie and I saw him before he was quote unquote famous, and it was just him, and then he would just play it. He loved playing and writing
songs.
Yeah,
I mean,
and playing.
You love what you do. Yeah, you love what you do, and you know, other people hear you do your stuff, and they go, hey, you know, this guy's pretty good. And then you get a fan base, and that's pretty much, I guess, how it would normally work. I mean, the other way is, you know, you just take a band, like, was it Rat, or they had just all these people together that said, oh, my uncle is such and such, you know, we're going to,
yeah,
you know, throw a bunch of money at this, and I'm just saying, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm just saying, you know, example, you'd have a band, you know, you have people with money, they can self-promote themselves, or they've got an uncle, or they've got, you know, whatever. They know how that works. I mean, it's the people you know. I mean, they can get you further ahead in the business.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Rat had that Milton Berle connection, and they were able to use that to get a record deal and all this stuff. Now, actually, I kind of think they were kind of talented, to be honest. Out of all those bands, they were one of the more talented ones. But
even if you have talent, it isn't necessarily you're going to be rich and famous either, but I mean, our cousin Danny, I mean, he's been in a lot of bands. And I mean, saying he was a roadie for Sugar. And he plays a bunch of different instruments too. Like, it's not just, he's just a, you know, guitar player or bass player or slide or lap steel or whatever. Like,
you can do it all.
He plays a lot of, he plays all instruments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, even though you're not going to automatically be famous just because you're a good musician.
Now, Sylvie and I have had this talk before, so I'm just going to share it with you. But we often talk about, like, with her profession. So my wife is the hairstylist. She runs her own salon. And I think she's really good at what she does. But, and I think she's incredibly successful at what she does, but the measure of success, and Danny and I kind of talked about this too, was that if you're doing what you love and you're making a living doing it, you're a success. Because if you can do what you love and make money doing it, I'm not saying getting rich. I mean, if you're able to pay your bills on time and you have a roof over your head, and you're happy, and, you know, if you're married or whatever, if you're happy doing what you're doing, to me, that's incredibly successful. Versus if you have a band like Guns N' Roses or something, and I don't know if I consider Guns N' Roses successful in the same way, because, I mean, they're successful now, but if you look at 10, 15 years ago, everyone's a junkie or an alcoholic or whatever. And yeah, they got all the money in the world and they're selling albums galore, but the tour is a grind. They're not enjoying the touring. They're all like, they all have all these problems. And really, the only, in terms of calling them successful, yes, they've sold a bunch of albums and they've made a lot of money, but not a single one of them's happy. Like,
you go back to what you know to make money. I mean, you're getting all these bands that have retired, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and now they're all trying to make a comeback just because, you know, someone else did. And they went, well, I mean, if they're going to do it, you know, why can't we do it? So then they turn it in a bad way. This might be a little deep, but if you started off with humanity at the very beginning of time, okay?
Yeah.
You can only measure your success by your self-worth, what you think that you're worth. It doesn't really matter. Like, when you talk about success, I mean, are you saying success what other people perceive of you, or is it the success that you perceive of yourself? If you're aiming for the stars, you know, and you just get up to the, you know, where the atmosphere, you know, the air is very thin, at least you've made it that far. But if you're only aiming low in life, I mean, you're only going to go as high as you're aiming. Even if you don't hit the mark, at least you're on your way there, or most of the way there. It depends on your personality too. It's like, if I was ingrained in my head and went, you know what, I want to be really good, and I want to be successful, and I want other people to, you know, think that I am too. That mindset you'd have to take with you, and you know, work towards that goal. If that makes any sense.
No, I like it. I like what you're saying. I agree. The success should be your own measure. It shouldn't be what people perceive of you, because to me, that's not success, because that's fleeting, and that's very, it's a timely thing, so that all of a sudden, if the masses deem you not successful anymore, then you're not, and if that's how you're measuring yourself, well, then you'll never really achieve success, because it'll always go away. And if your goal in becoming a musician is, look, I just really want to make it. I really want to make it. Well, like, when you say make it, well, what do you mean? So some people say, oh, I just want to make, you know, they want it to be like a lottery where, oh, you know what? I work really hard. We put this one album out and it goes diamond. It says, sell 10 million copies and I'm a millionaire. Okay, now I'm going to retire. So your goal wasn't to put out a great album. Your goal was to win the lottery and be able to retire and not do it anymore. So the music is not your love. Your love was not working. So if your goal is not working and it's winning the lottery, then you're waiting for your ship to come in. That's not a real way to measure your career and how to, you know, how to set your career up. Because, you know, like, yeah, a lot of people, like, they'll go to school and they'll take, you know, 8 years of university to score that job. And then the minute they score the job, well, if they've achieved their success, if their goal was to get a really good paying job, but now they got the job and now they actually have to work. And like, well, I don't really like working. You kind of went about it the wrong way, right?
Yeah. Well, everybody measures success differently. Do you consider yourself successful, like, if you have lots of money, or do you find yourself successful because you have a great family? It all depends on each individual, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, success is like, so for example, like, I have a day job, of course, you have a day job. That's not how I view my success at all. That's just something I do, like, I'm making ends meet. I'm paying the bills, and it's a career. Sure, it's a career, and I've been working hard in my career, but that's not how I value my success on the job that I have. I'm measuring my success on when I go home from work and I get home and I come home to my family, having that family. Yeah. That to me, like, I feel like I'm incredibly successful because I have that. Exactly. You know, I've got you and, you know, the whole family, and I've got a really good set of friends, and I make enough money to pay the bills, but I've got a beautiful wife and, you know, two great kids. Like, I don't know. I think I'm more successful than Guns N' Roses was in the day, you know, if you look at it that way. Because money don't buy happiness.
No, I mean, it makes a good down payment, but...
Well, yeah, it's a down payment on happiness, but...
It's a good down payment. If you didn't have anything to worry about with money, then it's everything else is what matters to you, because you're not worrying about money. I mean, money is important.
Sure.
But I mean, it's not, if you had a choice between money and family, I mean, what are you going to do with money? You can do lots with money, but in the end, if you don't have your family... you know what, when you're younger and you're surrounded by family all the time, you don't know what you have.
Yeah.
If you ripped yourself out of that situation, you know, moved to God knows where, no family around. I mean, you could have, you know, friends and stuff, but I mean, family is, you know, we're quite lucky that a lot of us are still, you know, in the peg and not everybody's, you know, still out here in Moncton or in New Brunswick, so.
Yeah, so no debate on this one.
No real debate. Yeah, because I mean, every family has their issues and stuff, but I consider myself like super lucky with everyone in my life. I mean, Donda. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better person. I mean, we click. I mean, we finish each other. We're like an old couple.
Yeah.
You know, we're thinking, we're talking. You know, we don't finish each other's sentences. It's weird. And when you see us together, many times we've been watching TV, talking, and then, you know, we'll just go off on something and talk about it. And then after, we should think, you know what? We should have like a webcam in the room. Because I mean, some of the things, like the way we interact is pretty comical, and it's pretty funny, and we literally quite enjoy it. And we've done a couple of videos, and I mean, Danica's seen them, and she says she has to watch them a couple of times, and you know, laughs and stuff. But family is when you're measuring success, I guess that'll be my view anyway. But when you're talking about the music business and wanting to be successful that way, when you're younger and you see all these stars and they glorify everything, and you're in, you know, you go to school and you go to high school and you see all these bands, and then you form your own band because you want to be as popular as everybody else.
Yeah.
And then as you grow up in life and you get later on, it's like, you know what? That's not. More of a, I don't know if they call it a marketing gimmick, but they market it so that, you know, everybody is in awe. They want to sell their albums. But if you really look into it, like, on a different level, then you can really see what's going on.
Yeah. Like Van Halen's probably a really good example of, you know, like, the whole way that band is marketed. They're a party band. They've got all these girls backstage, and, you know, they're all doing blow, and, you know, it's just party, party, party nonstop. There's always a drink in hand. They're always high. They're always drunk. They're always, like, that whole image, I think, from a music standpoint, I think that's what a lot of musicians strive for was, well, I just want to be able to party every day. So that's their end goal. So they get good at playing guitar or drums or whatever it is, just so they can go party all the time. But it's funny, it's ironic, really, is that you can't, if you get to that level, to the point where you can afford to party every day, your music is going to decrease in value, because if you're hungover all day, you're not going to be writing amazing music, in my opinion. You're going to lose your technical proficiency.
Yeah, you're not on top of your game anymore. You're kind of riding the wave that you just kind of created. But
yeah.
But they do it. I mean, they'll, and some people, I mean, you read, just like wrestlers, like the Ric Flair thing that I was watching, like he drank every day and wrestled, like, and people do that, and the same with bands. I mean, these guys go party, and they, you know, they do all the drugs and drinking and stuff, and then the next day they get up, you know, crack a beer, and away they go. Another day started,
and then they're dead by 50.
Well, that's the thing, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
But with us, I mean, we don't do it, you know, to be famous or anything. We do it because of the music. And
we just
hope other people will, you know, will enjoy it as much as we do. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, we want to go on center stage. And, I mean, if it ever happened, I mean, hey. It's not. But the way we deal with things is probably a little bit different than the rock stars of, at least in the hair metal days. Nowadays, I don't know. There's a lot of I haven't really been following new bands that have been out, so I don't know if they party as hard as they used to back in the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah, like I think here's another interesting one to look at is wrestling. Wrestling now is not like it was back then. You were talking about Ric Flair, and back then, I mean, all the wrestlers partied and they were popping pills and all this sort of thing. Nowadays, wrestling doesn't run that way. The guys are fit. The guys have, you know, they have got really good diets. The partying thing isn't really a thing anymore. Like, they're all fitness people. So they went from just tough guys, you know, that were drinking all the time, to people that are actually, like, athletes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Considerably. I mean, it's same as, at work. I mean, where I work at the hospital back 20, 30 years or whatever, people were smoking everywhere in the hospital.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I mean, things have evolved where, you know, things are getting, everybody's kind of more conscious of either their health or just their surroundings, and then you get the just the pollution and whatnot. Everyone's just kind of, you know, saving energy, and it's just a changing world. It's just, it's gone from one direction just leading to a different one. Whether, you know, it's better or worse, I mean, that's up to interpretation, but...
So I think, like from the music side of things, going back to that, I think, like, I don't know, for us, like, for our band, I like how we're approaching everything, and I don't know if it's unique or not, probably not, but we're building our brand, you know, one song at a time, and the songs we're writing, like, we're never approaching a song going, well, I wonder if this would be popular, or I wonder if this would be, is this catchy enough? I think what we're trying to do is please ourselves first.
Exactly.
And write, like, if we don't like the song, then we work on it until we do. Like, we find a way to make that song something that we would like to listen to. And to me, right. That's the measure of a good song. It's not whether people like it or not. I it's kind of important, I guess. But if we don't like playing it, and say we had sold out, so we write something... Like, look at Kiss's song, I Was Made for Loving You. You know, that disco hit they had. Like, that was a specific ploy to say, hey, that disco thing's really popular, and that's easy shit to write. Hey, I'm going to write a disco song. And that's literally all it was. There was no, you know, it wasn't, oh, this is such a good song. It was, hey, I bet you I can write a disco song better than they can. And I bet you it'll be a hit. I would never want to do that. I mean, we could do a super commercial song. Hey, let's do a song that sounds like Taylor Swift. You know, we'll do a little country thing, a little pop country thing, and we'll put that out, and that'll get us notoriety, and then we can ride that to push our other songs. I wouldn't want to do that.
You know, I think everyone's, some people have been, was it Save a Horse, Ride a Cow? Wasn't that kind of a spoof? They just kind of made fun of
maybe that's what it was, because it's the song is so tongue-in-cheek, it's almost making fun of country music. I hated playing that song.
Yeah.
In our cover
band
days. Oh god,
yeah,
so cringe. But I guess, like, if you're a musician and you're gonna make it, and you go into a studio, because I know some bands that have done it, you go in a studio, and then they'll say, you know what, I really like what this band brings, so we're going to take you guys in the studio. So if someone approached us and said, hey, let's take you in the studio, look, I don't think your drummer has that sound that we're looking for, so what we'll do is we'll drum machine all this stuff. Like, we'll pre-program the drums, and we'll use that for the drums, so only one have to play on the album. We'll do it on a drum machine. And then, you know, we got a studio session guy who will just do the bass. So we'll just, tell you what, we'll just bring Alex in. We'll bring a couple of session guys in. They'll do the bass and the drums, or we'll just use the drum machine. We'll decide that when Alex gets there, and then Alex can record, and Alex is a star. And then Sean can come in and sing the vocals later. Like, I wouldn't want to do that, but that happens all the time. It's very, very common. You get signed and you do whatever the label says because the label signed you and they're giving you a bunch of money. Like, the Beach Boys always rented out a band to play in the studio. It wasn't the Beach Boys band playing.
Oh?
The Beach Boys played live, but in the studio they had someone else recording the music. So, like,
wow, that's not good.
Yeah, I think that sucks. And then that band that recorded gets no credit either. It's kind of like...
They're hired guns, I guess.
Yeah. Like, that kind of stuff, like, I really don't like that. It's all the song's more important than anything. Well, if we write the song, we should be playing the song. To me, that's, I mean, unless you're writing for someone else, I don't know, it just seems wrong.
If the chemistry of the group, the actual players, is, you know, melds together nicely, why would you want to go and throw an unknown person in there and just kind of force it?
Yeah.
Then you'd have you'd have to know all the songs. You'd have to, and if you're used to hearing, you know, the original player played a certain way, that's like if you had a stand-in and, you know, they play the song. I mean, yeah, it's the same song, but not quite the same. That's like when we went to go see, went to go see the Headpins when they were at playing at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was it Too Loud McLeod used to be the original guitar player, and he passed. He also played for Chilliwack. And, I mean, the stand-in player was good, and he played, you know, somewhat the same style, but just not quite, didn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can mix and match players from bands, but whether it's the studio musicians going in just to, you know, record part of an album and that, but yeah, it's not the same band anymore.
Yep. It's not. All right, well, I think we'll cap it off there. I'm at arrived at my destination.
Alrighty.
That was good. Awesome. So those will be posted tomorrow.
All right then.
All right.
We'll see you later.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.